Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 sound design lesson. Today we're building a kick that really earns its place in a drum and bass track, not just a kick that sounds big in solo, but one that has real subweight, real punch, and that gritty, jungle-style swing that makes the whole groove feel alive. The goal here is simple: make a kick that hits hard in the weight zone, stays tight in the low end, keeps a clear transient, and sits properly with fast breaks and a bassline. If you've ever had a kick that sounded massive at first, but turned mushy the moment the track got busy, this lesson is for you. We're going to use stock Ableton devices, a layered drum rack approach, saturation, drum bus, EQ, and some careful MIDI timing to give the kick movement. And along the way, I'll point out a few teacher-style details that make a huge difference in real production. First, start with a clean kick source. Open a new Ableton Live 12 project and create a MIDI track. You can use a clean acoustic kick sample, a stock kick, or any short kick with a clear transient and a controlled tail. The important thing is not to begin with something already smashed, distorted, or super long in the low end. In drum and bass, your kick needs to leave room for the sub and the bass line. If the kick is already too boomy, you'll end up fighting it all lesson. So choose something that feels tight, direct, and well-defined. Drag that kick into Simpler or into a drum rack pad. Now we'll build the kick as a layered sound. This is one of the best ways to get control. Instead of relying on one sample to do everything, we'll split the job into three parts: click, body, and sub. Each layer has a role, and that's important. If one layer tries to do everything, the result usually gets messy. Let's start with the click layer. This is the front edge of the kick, the part that helps it cut through a dense drum and bass mix. You can use a rimshot click, a tiny snare tick, a short stick hit, or even a high-frequency transient from another kick. Put that into a Simpler chain inside the drum rack. Set Simpler to one-shot or classic mode. Keep the start very close to the beginning, with minimal fade. The volume should be low, just enough to hear the attack. Then add EQ8 after it and high-pass it somewhere around 1.5 to 3 kHz. If it needs a bit more presence, you can add a light boost around 4 to 8 kHz. But don't overdo this. The click should support the kick, not become a separate percussion sound. Next comes the body layer. This is the main punch of the kick, the part that gives it thump and character. Load your main kick sample into another drum rack chain and use Simpler again. For this layer, keep warping off unless the sample really needs timing correction. Adjust the transpose until it sits correctly in the track, and make sure the gain isn't clipping before processing. Then add EQ8. If the kick sounds boxy, try a small cut around 250 to 400 Hz. If it feels too thin, a subtle boost around 90 to 120 Hz can help. The body layer is where the kick gets its physical thud, so tune this by context, not just in solo. A kick that sounds slightly strange alone can be perfect once the bass and break are in. Now for the subweight layer. This is where the kick gets serious. Create a third chain and load a sine wave or near sine source. Operator is perfect for this. Set oscillator to a sine, drop it down an octave or two, and keep the amp envelope short. Attack should be very fast, decay somewhere around 120 to 220 milliseconds, sustain at zero, and release short. You want a brief bloom under the kick, not a long bass note hanging around. That short sub reinforcement is what gives you weight without turning the low end to mush. Add EQ8 after operator and gently cut any rumble below about 25 to 30 Hz. If the layer feels muddy, trim a little around 180 to 250 Hz. Again, the rule here is short and controlled. In fast DNB and jungle, a tiny sustain mistake can turn a punchy kick into a lingering low-end note that fights the bass. Now we start adding saturation, which is a huge part of making the kick feel louder and heavier without just boosting volume. Put a saturator on the body layer first. Start with around 2 to 6 dB of drive and turn soft clip on. What you're listening for is extra harmonic content, a denser mid-range body, and a kick that reads more clearly on smaller speakers. This is a really important point. Saturation doesn't just make things dirtier. Used properly, it creates harmonics that help the ear perceive weight and loudness. That means your kick can feel more present without needing huge EQ boosts. If you want a bit more overall heft, you can also add a gentler saturator on the full drum rack group, maybe 1 to 3 dB of drive with soft clip on. Just be careful not to flatten the transient. If the kick loses punch, you've gone too far. Next, add drum bus after the drum rack group. This device can really help the kick feel finished and glued together. Start with drive around 5 to 15%, transient somewhere between plus 5 and plus 20, and keep boom lower off at first. If you do use boom, tune it carefully, usually somewhere in the 50 to 70 Hz range depending on the track. In this style, transient is often more useful than heavy boom. You want the kick to punch through the brakes, not turn into a soft sub blob. After that, use utility and EQA to clean everything up. Utility is great for level matching and keeping things under control. If you're processing a full drum group, bass mono can be useful, but don't force everything wider than it needs to be. Then use EQA to cut any rumble below 25 to 30 Hz and tame mud around 200 to 350 Hz. If needed, a very subtle boost in the 2 to 5 kHz area can help the kick read a little more clearly in the mix. Now let's talk about the groove, because this is where the jungle feel comes in. A straight kick pattern can work, but if we want that classic movement, the timing needs a little attitude. Program a basic kick pattern with hits on the 1, on 2.5, on 3, and maybe an occasional offbeat before 4. Then listen to it against the break. The swing comes from slight timing shifts. Push some kicks a little late. Net ghost hits sit a touch early or late depending on what the break is doing. The idea is not to make the kick sloppy. It should lean against the rhythm, not fall behind it. You can also use Ableton's groove pool. Drag in a swing groove, maybe something MPC style or a subtle triplet feel, and apply it lightly to the MIDI clip. For subtle jungle movement, start around 10 to 30% groove amount. If you want it more obvious, you can go up to 30 to 50%, but be careful. Too much swing on the kick can make the low end feel lazy, and in drum and bass that can kill the energy fast. A good rule here is to let the kick feel alive, not late. If it sounds like it's dragging, back off the groove and nudge things by ear. Now let's put the kick with a break. That's where the sound really comes to life. Load a breakbeat on another track and warp it lightly if needed. Route the kick and break to a drum bus and listen to the interaction. If the kick masks the break, shorten the kick tail, reduce the sub-layer's decay, or trim a little low mid from the break. If the kick feels weak, raise the transient, add a little more saturation, brighten the click, or make a small boost around 90 to 110 Hz. This is one of the biggest lessons in drum and bass sound design. Don't judge the kick in isolation. Tune by context. The right kick is the one that locks with the bass and the break, even if it feels a little unusual when soloed. At this point, sidechaining is essential. Put a compressor or a glue compressor on the bass track and sidechain it to the kick. Start with a very fast attack, maybe 1 to 5 milliseconds, release around 50 to 120 milliseconds, and a ratio between 2 to 1 and 4 to 1. Then lower the threshold until the kick can breathe. If your bass is split into sub and mid layers, sidechain the sub more aggressively and the mid bass more gently. That way, the kick gets room where it matters most without making the whole bass line pump too much. Now let's talk arrangement. A lot of producers make the mistake of using the exact same kick for the entire tune. That works for a while, but it gets flat. Instead, build variations. Use a cleaner version for rolling sections, a heavier saturated version for the drop, and maybe a filtered or shorter version for breakdowns and tension moments. You can also create a couple of transition hits, like shortened kicks with a little more grit or a subtle pitch drop at the start. That gives you more control over energy across that arrangement. In a jungle or DNB track, those small changes can make the drop feel much bigger without increasing peak level much. And that's really the key to this whole lesson, making the kick feel louder, stronger, and more powerful without just turning it up. Reedel subweight design is about control. It's about transient shape, layer balance, careful saturation, and knowing how the kick sits with the rest of the track. Before we wrap up, here are a few important reminders. First, level match every change. Whenever you add drive, transient, or boom, toggle the effect on and off and match the output so you're judging tone, not just volume. Second, check the kick in mono early. Layered low end can sound huge in stereo and then disappear when collapsed. Third, keep tails shorter than you think you need. In fast DNB, long decay can blur the groove faster than you expect. Also, remember the role of each layer. The click adds attack, the body adds thump, the sub-layer adds reinforcement. If one layer starts doing all three jobs, the sound gets muddy. Keep the rolls separate and the result stays punchy. For a good practice exercise, build two versions of this kick rack. Version 1 should be cleaner, with lighter saturation and minimal swing. Version 2 should be heavier, with more drive, more transient, and a little more groove. Then place both versions into a two-bar loop with a break and a bass line, and compare them in context. See which version works better for an intro, a drop, or a breakdown. If you want a challenge, try making the heavier version feel more powerful without increasing its peak level much. If you can do that, you're really learning how to design subweight instead of just boosting volume. So to recap, layer your kick, keep the sub short, use saturator and drum bus carefully, shape the transient, add subtle jungle swing, and always listen in context. When you treat the kick as a full sound design element, not just a drum hit, your drum and bass productions instantly get more power, more control, and way more character. If you want, in the next lesson we can build the matching sub bass so it locks perfectly with this kick.